I want to reflect with you a little bit this morning on some words that we actually started worship with this morning. I don't know if you were here early, but we sang Shane Shane's rendition of the last verse of Psalm 23, surely goodness and loving kindness or mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I want to reflect just on that verse. I wish I could preach my way all the way through the 23rd Psalm. Well, we'd be here till way past 1 o'clock, so I'm not going to do that. Not today. Okay? But I did bring my tools with me, my shepherd tools. Because, you know, Psalm 23 is what I call the shepherd's psalm. Sometimes we think of it as a sheep's psalm, but it's actually the shepherd's psalm. Because it starts out with kids. It starts out with kids. And it says right there in the text, children, since you're little sheep, you get to go first. So, children, you may follow your teachers, your leaders out this way, and you may go now. Okay? All you little sheep, go with your shepherds. Thanks, Tim. Okay. Where was I? Shepherd, thank you very much. The Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd, David said. David knew a lot about shepherding. He spent many of his young years, his growing up years, since he was the baby of the family, he got allocated the responsibility of running after the sheep, running after dad's sheep. So he spent a lot of time with the sheep. So he is qualified to share this psalm with us. And you know, you may be familiar with this thing. I borrowed it from Michael. It is a shepherd's staff. And a staff is good. The psalmist says, your staff and your rod, they comfort me. Now, the staff was used for a lot of things. As you can see, it has a curve around the neck, so the shepherd could reach that wayward sheep and bring him back where he belongs. He could hook him around the neck, and he could also use this thing to whack some predator. But if that wasn't good enough, he'd take the rod. Now the rod is a serious whacker. This is a rod. This is a Kenyan rod, okay? And if you notice, it's got a big end to it, and this thing is heavy. I don't let my grandkids play with this thing, for obvious reasons, because I've told them what it's for. And the shepherds, yeah, the shepherds were expert with these things. They could knock the head of a predator with one whack, and that predator would be deceased. Or they could take it and they could actually throw it at something, and they had deadly aim, and they could get rid of predators. So, the shepherd psalm says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me," because we know the Lord is our shepherd. And the psalm is all about the fact that the Lord is our shepherd, and that's good news. And because we are like his sheep, which may be good news, may not be such good news. We spent 8 years in Africa, and there were a lot of sheep experiences. I'll just share one with you. I was driving. My family was with me. We're just leaving town. The rule of the road is, you kill it, you buy it. Okay? And there was this group of sheep by the right side of the road, and I slowed down some, but I kept going a bit past this group of sheep off to the right, and just at the wrong time, this you turned her head this way, and I clunked her with the front bumper. But I watched her in my rearview mirror as we kept driving, and she stood on all four, so we got out of there in a hurry. Other sheep were not quite as fortunate. The psalmist ends this great psalm, and I know many of you have probably memorized this psalm, but the psalmist ends with these words. He says, surely goodness and love, or loving kindness, your version of your scripture may have mercy. That's okay too, but surely goodness and love, or mercy, loving kindness, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This has been quite the week in our household. Maybe it has in yours too. On Monday, Lisa, my wife, asked me to go to her oncologist appointment with her because she thought it was going to be bad news. Turned out it was good news. You see, amen. She's been battling with what's called non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. We first discovered it back in 2008. She had her first chemo in 2011, and it's morphed twice, you know. And so it's been a battle, but God has been praised. God has been glorified. We have seen a lot of people come to hear the good news about Jesus through this journey. But last Monday, the doctor said brought out the R word. You know what the R word is? Remission. Remission. There's no sign of cancer in her body. That's good news. Praise God. Then Wednesday evening, we got the news that that Brother Lee was not doing well. And 20 minutes later, we got a text from Susan saying he had gone home to be with the Lord. And we got over there as quick as we could and just spent time with Susan. Now, if you didn't know Lee, I feel sorry for you. I just got to say that right now, okay? If you didn't know him, I'm sorry you didn't get a chance to know him, but for many of us, we got a chance to know Lee. And he impacted our lives in profound ways. One time I was over in that corner of the sanctuary and Lee was coming, we were coming in together, and he was coming up here to preach. And I said these profoundly spiritual words to him. Deep and profound words. I said, Lee, we've got something good going here. Don't screw it up. Okay. He laughed, and he would have said the same thing to me. Only it was my turn. And then we remember, there's a wedding going on this weekend. Did it happen yesterday? Today. So Pastor Dave and Gretchen are there, and their dear daughter Deb is getting married to her sweetheart. Praise God. What a wonderful joy that is. And we've been there, you know, with our four children as we've attended the weddings, and I officiated a couple of the weddings, and I know what joy it is. Man, it is fun. What a blessing. And we're sharing that blessing with them when they when they're with us next time. We'll give them a big hug and tell them how happy we are. But in light of all these things, we can lean hard into the words of Psalm 23, verse 6. Lean hard into these words. You know, even all through the events of this week, the ups, the downs, the in-betweens, and oh, I haven't even talked about the international scene yet, and the war going on and all that stuff, and families being driven out of their homes, and some people dying, and all that. So the world is, in the words of the songwriter, this world is not my home. Just a passing through. And we're looking for a city whose architect and builder is God. Amen? Amen. So in this psalm of the shepherd, we hear God talking to us, his little sheep, whom he loves and cares for. And David is the author. David knew a lot about taking care of sheep. He spent many lonely nights and days in the hills taking care of his father's sheep. And we learn through the shepherd, he leads us. There's something, though, about following. There's something following us. And David, according to David, we are being followed. We're being pursued by something. So let's take a careful, close look at that final verse, verse 26 of the Shepherd's Psalm, to understand what it is that is following or pursuing us. There, the shepherd king writes, "Surely, surely, faith that speaks with confidence." Faith that speaks with confidence. David begins with one word and sets the tone for the rest of the verse, and that is the word surely. Not hopefully, not if things work out, not if things get better or easier, not when life settles down. No. Think of Jesus saying, "Truly, truly, I say unto you." If it wasn't so, I would have told you, but it is so. Truly, truly, I say unto you. And the psalmist, David the psalmist says, he begins it with that little word. In the Hebrew language, it's just two little letters, and it says, surely, absolutely, truly, truly, pay attention, I'm speaking to you. The word does not come from a perfect or easy life coming out of David's mouth or from his pen. It comes from a life that has been tested. David had been betrayed by friends. David had been chased by enemies. David had been guilty of major failure. David was acquainted with loss. And still, after all that, he says, surely. This is what mature faith sounds like. Faith that doesn't deny pain, but refuses to let pain have the final word. Doesn't deny pain. Doesn't deny that there are painful times in life. Doesn't deny that there are times when we question God. Doesn't deny that we sometimes question the timing of God or God's ways. I told a friend in Nigeria where I work, Stephen, when you can't understand God's hand, trust his heart. Trust his heart. When you can't understand what God's doing in your life right now, lean hard on God's heart, because you know that he has goodness and loving kindness in store for you. Listen to the confidence of that word. Listen to the surety of it. Surely, surely, this is something you can count on, something you can set the rhythm of your life on, something that is as predictable as the sunrise. Surely. surely. Surely, goodness and loving kindness. What's pursuing you? Here's the part we often miss. David says goodness and love don't just visit him occasionally. They follow him. They pursue him. The word follow literally means to pursue or to chase down. Picture this. You're not chasing God's blessing. God's grace means that he's chasing you. He's chasing you. You see, this is something interesting. In the first century, this whole thing of rabbis and followers or disciples, the law of the land was that the people who were tzaddiks, they were righteous people, they were people who really were kind of trying to tune into God, they would look for a rabbi, but they'd look for the best ones, the ones who are really out there leading, you know, the really good ones. And they'd look for that good rabbi. And they'd make application to that rabbi. They'd say, "Rabbi, I want to follow you." In fact, there was this funny little phrase, "Rabbi, I want to eat the dust of your shoes." Yeah, that sounds yucky, doesn't it? You know, but what it means is, I want to be so close to you as we trek through the over the hills and through the valleys and wherever we go. I want to be so close to you that if you're kicking up dust from your shoes, I want to be so close that it could be even go in my mouth. I don't care. I just got to be close to you. And Jesus turned that around. He turned that around. He said to his followers, Come. He chose them. Come. Peter, Andrew, etc. Come. Come, follow me. And they took him at his word. And they counted the loss. They counted the cost. And they left what was familiar to them. They left their boats, their fishing nets, etc. All that was familiar to them. And they followed Jesus because they just had to. Because they knew what kind of rabbi he was. They hadn't even really figured out that he was the Son of God yet. But they knew, I believe they knew he was a really, really wonderful rabbi. And it took time for them to figure out who he really was. And then in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says, "Hey guys, who do people in the market say I am? Who do people say I am?" And they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist resurrected. Some say one of the prophets of old, blah, blah, blah." And then he asked them a follow-up question. "Who do you say I am?" Peter was the first to speak because Peter always spoke first. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. My Father in heaven, he revealed this to you. And on this, your name is Petros, but on this Petra, this rock of your confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand up against it." They caught by that time who he is. And they were really glad that they left the nets and everything familiar to them to follow him. You're not chasing God's blessing. God is chasing you with his goodness and his loving kindness. Goodness means God meets your needs, often quietly. Our God is a good shepherd who constantly shows his goodness to us, his sheep. You might be asking yourself, if the goodness of God is pursuing me, then why am I experiencing difficulties? Why am I experiencing trials? Why are there so many trials and temptations all around me? Where is the evidence of God's goodness? When we came to trust Jesus as our Savior, He did not promise us an easy life. He didn't promise us an easy life. He said, in fact, He said this, in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Amen? In this world, you'll have trouble. This world is not your home. You're still looking for a home. In this world, you will have trouble. The life Jesus led on this earth was certainly not without trouble. Several times, people tried to kill him. They were chasing him down, trying to kill him. From as early as somewhere around 2 years old or younger, they're trying to kill him. But God preserved his life through the troubles. And if you know any of the Gospels, you know that his life ended in troubles, but also in triumph and praise and worship and obedience. Love covers your messiness over and over again. Love or loving kindness is what God keeps giving us even when we don't deserve it. Even though we might have made a mess of things, love is standing at the door of our heart, gently knocking, saying, let me in. I want to be close to you. I want to be near you in the troubles. I want to be near you in the difficulties. I want my spirit to be inside you. Let me in. I can help. This is the Hebrew word for the covenant-based love. You have to swallow before you say this word. It is the word chesed. See, that's why you have to swallow. It is the word chesed. Some of your translations may have mercy. Mercy is not a bad definition of the word or bad translation of the word, but chesed means more than that. It means loving kindness. Loving kindness. Even when we didn't notice it, even when we didn't feel it, even when we didn't deserve it, loving kindness is pursuing us. God's loving kindness, His covenantal love, because we're in covenant relationship with Him. If you've come to Christ, if you've come to know Jesus, you've come to know Him through His shed blood and His broken body, and you've come into that covenant relationship with God through Him. We've come into that new covenant relationship with Him, and now when we're inside that new covenant relationship with Him, God promises us chesed. God promises us that His goodness and His chesed are going to follow us all the days of our lives because we're in that covenant relationship with Him. And covenant relationship means covenant love. The covenant love of the Father is going to be chasing after us all the days of our lives. You may argue that your failures, your sin, has ripped you away from that chesed. But I'm here to tell you that is not true. That simply is not true. Dan earlier referred to these verses in Romans chapter 8, where Paul writes this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall hardship, trouble, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered here, we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing this morning? Are you hearing the word of God to you? What will separate you from the love of God? One more sin, and then you, I'm sorry, you're over, baby. It is over. No more chesed for you. No more, one more lonely night when you say, God, you're not present with me. I feel too lonely to recognize your presence. Okay, now that chesed is over, right? No, it's not. It's not. He's going to follow you all the days of your life with goodness and loving kindness. All the days of your life. Just like the father of the prodigal son. He's going to be waiting. When you drift away, when you risk your life to give it to rebellion, to walk away, he's going to be waiting there. Waiting there. And when he sees you coming, when he sees you coming from afar, he's going to say, slaughter the fattened calf. Give me a ring. My son has come back. My child has come back. Hallelujah. Because he's waiting for you. Because of his goodness and his chesed, his loving kindness. He's waiting for you. He wants you to come to shuv. To metanoia, to shuv, to turn, to metanoia, change your mind and your heart, and come back into the warm embrace of his goodness and his mercy. He's waiting. The good shepherd knows you, he knows what you're going through, and he is already showing you his goodness and his loving kindness. He's already there doing it. And he is ready to continue to show his goodness and loving kindness forever. You might not see it or feel it, but it is there because he is there. To what extent, for how long? All the days of my life. All the days of my life. David doesn't say, on the good days. No, he doesn't say the winning seasons of my life. No. On the days when I felt on the top of my game. No. On the days when things were easy or better. No. All the days of our lives. This includes the depressing days when it feels like there's a dark cloud over our head that won't go away. It includes the confusing days when we can't make sense of life going on around us. It includes the days when our prayers feel like they're bouncing off the ceiling back to us. He's still there with his goodness and his loving kindness. It includes the days when faith feels fragile. When we barely feel like we have anything to hang on to. He's hanging on to you. And he's not going to let go. Because he loves you so much. So much. In fact, he loves you so much. He allowed his only son to experience the death typified by the cross so that you and I could know his goodness. And his loving kindness. Now that is love. God does not clock out because life isn't going well. He doesn't have any time clock, any clock or card to punch. No, let's be honest. Some of us are living through chapters of our lives we would not have chosen. We would not have chosen those chapters. Joblessness. Sickness. Financial challenges. We wouldn't have chosen those things. We wouldn't have put them on our agenda. But they're there. And God is there in the midst of those challenges. So Psalm 23:6 says, God does some of his best work in days we could just as soon skip. We'd just as soon skip those days. But those are the days when God is doing deep things in our lives. Those days when we can't see God's provision, God's providing for us. In those days when we can't see, don't feel God's protection, he's protecting us. When we feel lost, we don't know where to go, God's directing us. When will you ever see God saying, hey, I'm going to take a day off. You're on your own today. You're on your own today. Figure it out. Okay? No. All the days of my life, he's going to be there. He's going to be working. Even on those days when we feel sad. Even on those days when we feel that the world is falling apart around us. In those days, in those moments, in those weeks or months, that is the time when the Good Shepherd is pursuing us with his goodness and his chesed, his loving kindness. So stop looking back at your failures. Stop dwelling on times when you have disappointed yourself or others. Lift up your head and say with the psalmist, where does my help come from? Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. That's where my help and your help comes from. And he never changes. Isn't that good news? He never changes. He never says, yeah, I had goodness and kindness in the warehouse, but there was a rush on it. Yeah. There were a lot of needs and we sold out. Can you come back next week or next month? We'll see if our inventory increases. No. It's always there. He's got an ample storage. So where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And he's always got enough loving kindness, enough for all of us. God has plenty of goodness and loving kindness for you today and tomorrow. He's not going to run out short anytime soon. So then the psalmist is wrapping it up. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, now he's switching the metaphor a little bit from the life of sheep to the life of the shepherd and the shepherd's child. And he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Belonging, not just belief, but belonging. This isn't religious language. It's relational language. Here David switches from the language of sheep and pasture to home and family. To dwell means to stay, to live, to belong. David isn't talking just about a building. He's talking about identity. I am his. I'm part of his family. And so I can move in. So that verse in John 14 makes a whole lot of sense to us, doesn't it? Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to go make a place for you. I'm going to go make a home for you in my Father's house. And don't worry, there are many rooms. There's room for you. There's room for you. I was in a medical appointment Friday on the seventh floor of this building, looking over the city. And I said, I want a room in heaven like this one. With a big view. I want a big view, you know, of what's going on around me. I thought that was really cool. But David is talking about our identity as children. And he says, we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And not just visit God, but and visit him when I'm in trouble, but all the time. I live with him because I belong to him. And then he says, forever. If you're one of my kids or grandkids, I will let you into my house any old time. In fact, if my kids and my grandkids know that they can come into my house anytime, and they can stay for as long as they want to. All y'all, it's a fixed time. But you're welcome. We love to have people over. But because they're family, you see, they're family, and all y'all are a family too, but there's room for some of us anyway. But for my kids and grandkids, we'll make room. You know, we did. We for 6 months, we had four of our kids and grandkids in with us, and we loved it most of the time. But this is where hope locks in. Life is not random. Pain is not pointless. Death is not the end. The shepherd who walks with you now will not abandon you later. Okay, let's land this plane. So walk forward. You're not alone. If goodness and mercy are following you all the days, all you have to do is not run yourself into exhaustion, not be paralyzed by fear, not live stuck in shame, and periodically do what running coaches tell you never to do. Look over your shoulder. Look over your shoulder once in a while, and you'll see goodness and loving kindness following right behind. You can walk forward, you can breathe, you can trust, because even when life feels uncertain, this promise remains. Surely, goodness and loving kindness, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me, will follow you all the days of your life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord for at least 60 days. We can always apply for a 30-day extension. That's the word, extension. Yeah, to make it 90 days. No, 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 no. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I'm going to hang out. I'm going to hang out with Papa God forever. And that's good news, especially when we have to say goodbye to friends who go there before we do. It hurts. Our hearts, those of us who knew Lee, are hurt. Our hearts hurt. And that's okay. We grieve. It's good to grieve. It's good to grieve well. We don't grieve as those who have no hope. Amen? Why? Because we have hope. Hello? Because we have hope. That hope which is like an anchor for the soul, right? It's an anchor for the soul. So we're not, you know, just being cast here and there by the wind and waves of the day. We have an anchor, and it's called hope. And it is a hope in the truth of our reality right now, that loving kindness is following us, goodness is following us, and it will follow us all the days of our life until we see Jesus face to face. Then we'll know that, yep, yep, it was true. It was true. Would you pray with me? Let's pray together. Maybe you, like me, need to just take a big, deep breath right now and admit that, yeah, life kind of hurts at times. It hurts at times. And there are times in our life when we don't sense God's goodness and loving kindness. but it's still there. And we just live in this temporary shell for now. But we look forward in hope to the resurrection. So thank you, Lord, for that truth. And we have this hope as an anchor for our soul. And we're so confident. We're so confident in you, Lord, that even when life hurts, you're there. Your loving kindness and your goodness are there, even in painful times, even in times we don't understand and we wish we're different. We recognize that you're there with us and that you have good in store for us because you are the shepherd and we're your sheep and you're a good shepherd, such a good shepherd. In Jesus' name.